It was like a professional concert. It was a professional concert. Because you are professionals. There is not one of you making music for us today that is not just a delight to watch and to listen to. Thank you so much. Well, it looks like the crowd we had last week dwindled a little bit. So I guess we'll see them at Christmas. Just kidding. No, this begins that time of the year when we're all, you know, doing things. I've had a very strong feeling about something that I want to share with all of you. Well, first, I love our wall. That's a very strong feeling that I have. Thank you.
Why, thank you.
I have felt a shift in me, and usually when I feel a shift in me, I know that it's reflective of a shift that we're all having together, and I'm just the mouthpiece for it, the spokesperson for our collective spiritual growth. That's what I really am. And it feels to me like we are moving toward something that's greater than any of us have imagined so far. It feels like we're moving toward a maturity in our spiritual lives with each other here in this community, that we're ready to live even more deliberately and consciously and higher than we have before. And if you're saying, oh no, I can't grow any more than I already have. I have reached the pinnacle of my spiritual growth. Let's talk, because I would challenge you on that particular belief. There's a lot going on in the world. There's always a lot going on in the world. There's never not something going on in the world. But it's too easy for us to become complacent with what's going on in the world as just the way things are. And I would challenge us to think that we could make a difference in the way things are so that things might be different, so that things might be a little more elevated than they have been. So I'm going to give you a really focused vision today so that we are doing our part about poverty, inequality, violence, bias, all the things, hunger, that we just assume are always going to be there. If somewhere over the rainbow exists, and newsflash, it does.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, thank you. If that exists, then we're responsible for making it happen. That's our job. It's why we're here. So, oh, and I hear that sweet baby. I saw a picture of that sweet baby. Do you mind if I come back there? This is Jim's grandbaby.
Our newest member.
What's your name? Tori. And your daughter's name is?
Jadalise.
Mm-hmm. Oh. May I?
Yeah.
Are you comfortable with that?
Of course.
Go introduce her to the congregation.
This is baby Jadalise. Oh, she opened her eyes. She's so beautiful, Tori. What I'm talking about today is for her. And all the other littles that are with us and joining us every day. You know, we've got to set a good example because they get here already doing it better than we have. Oh, you are so wonderful. I could just... The blessing of God be upon you. May God's face shine upon you. May God grant you peace in all ways. And we love and support you from this day forward and your parents. So it is.
Thank you.
Hi, baby.
Voicing her a little bit of opinion.
Man. Thank you for letting us do the honor of welcoming her with your family to this world. Thank you. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Bless you for letting the Spirit move you.
Thank you.
So wonderful.
Thank you, Lee. You see, we all need our hearts to feel like they feel right now. More of the time than not. That's what we need to do all the time, is let those hearts be wide open. Because the truth is that every time we are consciously growing in our spiritual life, we're doing it for everyone. We think that it's just about us. We think that, it's good. Oh, it's good I got clean and sober. It's great that I'm, you know, practicing living the way I want to, and I'm meditating, and I'm, you know, praying for others, and I'm tithing, and I'm serving. But every time you do something that is for the good of you, it's for the good of all. Every time. That sweet baby, man. For the good of humanity, we have to raise our consciousness. We've been studying this book, Spiritual Economics, which sounds like it's about money, but it's about our spiritual resources, which includes the giving of money. But spiritual economics is about how we use ourselves, how we're using the gifts we've been given. So we've been studying this, and in this book, Eric Butterworth says, as one person changes his or her level of thought, the consciousness of the whole changes to that degree. So what if all of us were gathered here together and we changed our consciousness, we changed our level of thought and brought it up a notch, then that's going to affect humanity to that degree. And you see, if we do that and it affects the next person, then they get to spread it out into the world. You see? We've been talking about immersing ourselves in the realization that God's substance is creating and sustaining and prospering us all the time. We are never not in God's substance, and there is no place that we are that God's substance isn't. Everywhere, all the time, in full. And that, just thinking about God's substance, that is the great urge from which everything is created. It is the source from which everything is created, and either God is your source or God isn't. And you have to decide. And it's not God is my source in this situation, but not this one. It doesn't work that way. Every time you catch yourself saying, I don't need to pray about this, I can figure it out myself, And you may not consciously say that, but I bet you think it. Oh, I can figure this out. You can go to a source greater than yourself for those solutions, for those creative ideas, for that healing. God is your source, or God is not. I'm going to share with you some words from the great Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. There is now incontrovertible evidence that mankind has just entered upon the greatest period of change the world has ever known. The ills from which we are suffering have had their seat in the very foundation of human thought. In other words, if we're in any kind of a mess, it's because we got ourselves there. You know what our economy is based on? The way we think about it. You know how the stock market goes up and down? Human thought. Yeah, fear. But today something is happening to the whole structure of human consciousness. A fresh kind of life is starting. In the face of such an upheaval, actually shaken by it, no one can remain indifferent. Swept along by the tide of affairs, what can we do to see clearly and act decisively? No matter what reactions we may have to current events, we ought first to reaffirm a robust faith in the destiny of humankind. It's important, this is Eric Butterworth, that here and now, New Age or New Thought thinkers like yourself hold to the vision of the spiritual human being who has always risen to the occasion to draw forth the wisdom, and I'm going to start over because, okay. It's important that New Age thinkers like yourself hold to the vision of the spiritual human being who has always risen to the occasion to draw forth the wisdom and creativity required to take the next logical step in the progress of civilization. It would be called spiritual responsibility. Let's call it that. Spiritual responsibility. So there's a lot of ways that we do that. We do that in our spiritual growth and in our classes and in our 12-step work and in our realizations and in our connection with each other. We do it through our giving to organizations and our giving of ourselves in volunteer service and giving of ourselves in service here at the church. And there are organizations out there. I just talked to somebody from Oxfam yesterday that's helping out, and I hadn't heard very much about this in the news. Terrible, terrible hurricane hit Madagascar in Tanzania. Killed a whole bunch of people and displaced hundreds of people, and a cyclone was coming in right behind it. So Oxfam's in there trying to... Now, this is not just an endorsement for Oxfam. It's an example. And there's a group that I've mentioned before called Women for Women International that works with women in the places where they live in order to help them learn skills and to find their own worth, their own power, their own ability to create and maintain and sustain the good of their families. And so that's one way that we can help lift people up. But now I'm going to talk to you for just a moment about tithing. You didn't see that one coming, did you? Don't run away. If your mind just went, oh my God, this is not a commercial for church. That's the mistake that's been made for generations of Christianity. Tithing has been a commercial for church. And I'm here to tell you today what tithing is not. From Malachi. This is the best source for finding out what giving is about. God said, bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. God said, test me. I dare you to try to outgive me. Yeah. And you see, the full tithe doesn't mean bring your 10%. It means bring yourself into the storehouse. Bring yourself into it. Bring your whole heart into it. You see, tithing all these years has been about coercion. But giving is about an act of the heart. So what I'm talking about today is that we need to toss out some of the Old Testament justifications for giving that 10%. You know, they go back to Abraham. He gave a tithe to Melchizedek. What he did was give him some money so he could cross Melchizedek's land. That's what that was for. When people went to the temple, there was a temple tax to pay. And so it was an obligation, whether it was coin or sheep or honey. It was an obligation. And people were following the law. And there's even a great example. You know, this book is about our spiritual evolution. That's what this book is about. It takes us from the days when human beings were babies who needed rules, where the law had to be laid down so they knew how to behave. You know, we break those Ten Commandments every single day, do we not? Well, I hope you're not killing people, but but you might be envious. You might engage in one of the seven deadlies. You know, that's not in the Bible, but I'm just throwing that out there. I'm going to take us back to one of our forefathers, the great Jacob. Wow. He was the leader of all these houses and lineages for the house of Israel. And he had the dream, you remember, with Jacob's ladder and the angels going up and down the ladder? And God said, now I will be your source. So here's what Jacob said. Catch this, because I missed it the first 700 or 500 times I read it. Jacob made a vow and said, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Do you catch that? If God will do this for me, and God will do that for me, and God will make this situation peaceful, then okay, all right, then you can be my God. See, this is spiritual infancy. You can see why people would need rules, just like we needed rules when we were children. But we are moving into spiritual maturity. And our spiritual maturity would have us give freely. And give with joy and give with our hearts. And not out of fear and not out of expecting anything back. And you know, I'm kind of going a little bit against the abundance teachings that we've heard, and it's just in the words that we use. Because you've been promised, if you give, God will give back. So there's a great story about a woman who had a job she didn't like very much. So she thought if she started tithing, things would get better. So she started tithing, 10%, every time she went through the doors, 10%. Her job wasn't getting any better, and she was getting mad at God because she was Jacob. But if you really looked at it, she was somebody who showed up to work late, spent a lot of time talking to her coworkers, didn't really put herself into the job. So nothing was changing because she wasn't changing. She was just giving some money. So what I'm going to say to you today, you've probably never heard from a minister ever. Stop tithing. Start giving. Because tithing was the obligation. It was our training wheels. It was a way for us to get started. It was a way for us to get educated about it. It was a way for us to try it out. But now we have the opportunity to step up. And as we step up for ourselves, and I'm talking about not only your money, but the way you approach your life. If you're living your life contracted and drawn into here, then what you're going to experience is a contracted, isolated, drawn in life where it's hard for you to see the good and hard for you to believe in humanity and care about humanity and want to do something about the destiny of humanity. So we get to open our hearts. What if we opened our hearts to every human being we met, just like we did with Jada Lise? Wow. Now, some of you have said, wow, that's scary. I'm afraid I'm going to cry. Oh, no. Tears. The healing liquid that flows from our eyes. Gosh, why would we want that? And you notice that when you cry from being open, the tears are made of a different chemical composition even than the ones when you're in great grief. Those tears, they just fall out. They just like fall out of our eyes. Instead of the kind that feel like they're getting squeezed out. You understand what I'm talking about? You know the difference. Yeah, we have to live wide open, my friends. All the time, everywhere. So tithing was training wheels. Tithing was the beginning of figuring out what it is. There's another great story in this book where an itinerant preacher, you know, that would go from church to church. He was going to a little country church one day, and as he got in church, those of you that have read Spiritual Economics know this story, but as he goes into church, he sees a little contribution box, and so he puts a half dollar in the contribution box. And he preaches his service, and then when he gets ready to leave, the standing pastor says, I'm sorry, we're a poor little church. All we have to give you is what's in the contribution box. And so what he gets is the half dollar that he put in. He's going, all righty. And his little son that was with him said, oh, Papa, if you'd put more in there, you would have gotten more back. Isn't that a great story? So the level that I'm talking about today, the level that I'm talking about, yes, it's about giving, but it's also about your giving affecting poverty and hunger and displacement and disenfranchisement. Today, we should all, and I'm saying should, we should all be lifting up the people in the synagogue in California yesterday. Do you know that that rabbi who had been shot in the hand continued to speak to his people while he was injured, and he said, we are strong, we are together, we are strong, and you cannot take us down. That lifts everyone up. Those words lifted you up right now from a rabbi you will never ever meet to my best guess. So we put away childish things. We give because God is our source. We give because we know that there is always enough. We give because we are raising up all of humankind every time we give any and all parts of ourselves. I want to read to you what happens with our giving. So see, you give here, and then we look at our net income for the month, and the board makes a decision on who to give to, from because we tithe. We are a tithing church. We're a giving church.
So close.
Almost had it. Missed it by that much. This is from the Crisis Bread Basket here in Wimberley. Unity of Wimberley, thank you all so much for your recent generous donation to the Wimberley's Crisis Bread Basket. Through your kindness, you have helped several families who struggle to put food on their tables in our community. You are appreciated by many. And we continue to support the bread basket. Bring your goods to the storehouse, my friends. And bring it because it will lift people up. It's hard for people to pray when they're hungry. It's hard for people to know their worth when they're hungry. Let's feed them and lift them up. This is from the Miracle Foundation. Unity of Wimberley, thank you all so much for your astounding generosity. Because of you all, we're able to give orphaned and vulnerable children everything they need to thrive. We're truly changing lives forever because of you. Thank you for being a part of our work. Don't be stingy with your life. Don't be stingy with the world. Humanity needs us. Needs each one of us. And we're making agreements with each other every day with our embraces and our words and our eye contact and our love and our generosity and our joy in coming together. By golly, the other day, the Adopt-A-Highway people were here and there were only three of them and they were joyfully going out to cover that work. And the three of them were splitting up the entire course. Thank you, Ann and Steve. And David Conway. It might have had something to do with the donuts, but I think it had more to do with the fact that we are givers. You give but little. This is from Khalil Gibran. You give but little when you give of your possessions. It is when you give of yourself that you truly give. Give as in yonder valley, the myrtle breathes its fragrance into space. Because we are part of the source, because we live in substance, we must breathe out our giving and our goodness just as easily and naturally as a tree would let its fragrance into the world. I don't think there's one myrtle tree out there that says, oh, I think today I'll just hold my fragrance right here inside me. When a butterfly says, no, I don't think I'll spread my wings today. I don't want anybody to see how pretty I am. I must fly. Why don't we pray? So we've taken in a lot today, so just breathe deeply, will you? Let these words be your words. For the sake of humankind as a whole, as well as for your own experience, think substance, think prosperity, think plenty for all. I am only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. I want your heart to be wide open again. And I'm going to read these words again. I am only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. Let that be your mantra. Let that be your healing work for the world. In these next few moments of silence, search your heart, beloved. Are you ready to bring all of yourself into the storehouse? Are you ready to put God to the test and see what blessing might be poured out upon you? If you will, just put your hand upon your heart. Feel the God life that is coursing through your body right now. Give thanks. For whatever is next in your spiritual life, give thanks. For whatever has to die to the old way, so that the new way might shine upon you, give thanks. And for all of this, We say, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.